We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, broadcasting to you live from Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. Today is Monday, September 19th. Thank you to all the new followers on Twitter. If you're just tuning in, you can follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/LifeAfterTGame. This segment is brought to you by School of the Legends. All your NFL fans, get it connected with your favorite players, active and retired, on School of the Legends at www.schooloftheLegends.com. Coming off a great, great NFL weekend with my co-host Anthony Smurf Plummer today. You know, the big game, the only game really that mattered this weekend to a lot of people, were the Eagles and Atlanta Falcons here in bright and beautiful ATL. Anthony, what'd you think about that game last night?
Wow, Lamar. I mean, I really did. I got a chance to go down to the Georgia Dome last night, and I'm talking about one of the most electric and exciting atmospheres that I ever seen just for the return of Michael Vick. You know, the whole Atlanta, the whole city came out to support Vick and also the Atlanta Falcons. So, I mean, I'm just excited. And you know, when the Atlanta Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs win, Mondays are pretty great in the city.
Yes, God, they are. Now, you know, last week we had our buddy Dave from the Falcoholic come join us and talk about what the Falcons, well, the big losses the Falcons had against the Chicago Bears last week and what they were going to do this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we have Dave back again today as promised to talk Falcons football. Dave, did you catch your breath yet from the game last night?
Not yet.
You know, last week, Dave, me, you, and Anthony talked a lot about what the Falcons were going to have to do to actually win this game, and I'm still nursing a hoarse voice from all the screaming I did yesterday. Unfortunately, being a Philadelphia native, I had my favorite Eric Allen jersey on and almost got crucified down there at the Georgia Dome last night. But I stood up proud, and I want to get your feedback on what you think about those Falcons and how they stepped up to get that win last night.
You know, it was an incredible game. There were stretches of that game where I was so miserable I couldn't even talk. I thought they were going to lose for sure. You know, they frittered away an 11-point lead, and they just came back. I mean, the number one defining characteristic of this Falcons team is toughness. They never give up, and they never sit down.
Okay, with that being said, Dave, like you said, the Falcons fought their way back. Would you say the Falcons won that game? Or do you think the Eagles lost it? Because, you know, before Michael Vick got hurt, the Eagles were actually up 31-21 when Vick got injured.
Yeah, and I think it's a mix. I really do. I think the Falcons, they won that game to an extent. They played really well in the fourth quarter. They finally put some things together. Obviously, you know, even though he was making some mistakes earlier in the night, having Vick go out definitely helped the Falcons. And, you know, I thought the Eagles' defense kind of slowed down toward the end of the night. So I think it's a mix of things. It was a little bit of luck, a little bit of skill.
Dave, I'm gonna put it out there for everybody. I watched that game last night, and two things that I didn't expect last night. I know for me, I thought it was going to be a make-or-break game for your boy Matty Ice Ryan against that Philadelphia Eagles defense. And I also thought that it was going to be a make-or-break game for Michael Vick last night and how he was going to perform against his whole team, the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think Mike Vick actually played a pretty good game last night. I think Mike started to feel a little bit of those jitters that last couple of drives that he had before the half, and including the one interception that should have been reviewed after the half. I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there on the table. I think Mike Vick was going in the tank last night. What are your feelings about that?
You think you're going in the tank?
I think Mike Vick was about to go in the tank last night before he got injured.
I hear what you're saying. You know, I think it's a possibility. I mean, you look at some of those turnovers, and, you know, it's hard to call something that didn't happen, I guess, but I thought he was making some mistakes. I thought he was having some problems later in the game. Toward the half, he had a couple of ugly fumbles. And so, I mean, it's certainly possible. I think that, you know, there's no guarantee that he would have done that much better than Mike Kafka, who actually had a pretty nice game in relief.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Wow, Dave. So what I'm thinking is, with that being said, the Falcons gave up a lot of points last night. What do you think the Falcons need to do on defense? I mean, I know about the acquisition of Dante Robinson, who they brought in 2 years ago. What do you think about him, Dave, if he's your top corner?
You know, well, I might not have to think about him for a week or two because he might be getting suspended for that hit. You know, the guy, you know, it's frustrating because he's a fundamentally sound defender. He's a pretty good tackler. But sometimes he just makes really stupid mistakes. And case in point, you know, he launched himself at Jeremy Maclin. And just, you know, I want all the guys on the Falcons to be wrapping up, tackling down low, bringing their guys down. He just didn't do that. And after last year, that was a mistake he couldn't afford to make. So, you know, I feel like Brent Grimes is really the number one corner. He really shut down DeSean Jackson last night. And, you know, he doesn't line up, I guess, with a number one corner would, but in my mind, he's the guy.
I have to go ahead and agree with you on that, Dave. I think Brent Grimes did a great job on DeSean Jackson last night. You didn't hear too much about him, but you didn't hear too much about DeSean Jackson either. And that's something you definitely had to think about with that Falcons secondary, which I have thought was always the weak link in that Falcons defense. But moving forward last night, I think that was a statement game for the Atlanta Falcons. I think Matty Ice became a man last night. I think without all the media hype, I think this was just as big a game for Matty Ice as it was for Michael Vick. Now, moving forward after this game, heading into a big game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a young Josh Freeman has those boys playing well with a comeback win yesterday, how do you think the Falcons are going to respond being so emotionally drained from such a big game yesterday?
I think they'll handle their business. I think, you know, the number one question is, can they protect Matt Ryan? He's gotten sacked 10 times in 2 games. He's been hit so often, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, can you keep the Buccaneers, who have a good front seven, from teeing off on the guy? And I think if they can do that, I think, you know, they are going to be a little bit drained. This was a crazy game. But, you know, they're a tough team, and they'll respond. They'll show up for it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Dave. I think the Falcons, I mean, I think that might have been a little jump start for the Falcons for next week for when they go down to Tampa Bay. I'm looking forward. If the Falcons aren't good as other teams, as people predict them to be, they should be able to go down to Tampa and take care of business against Josh Freeman and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're a tough team. I don't underestimate them, but I just haven't been impressed with the way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been playing so far this year. And this is the first secondary that doesn't really scare me. You know, the Bears and the Eagles, they had some great corners. They really, you know, they schemed well for the Falcons wide receivers. I think this is the week that Julio Jones has his first breakout game.
I think Julio Jones played well last night. I think he definitely stepped up to the challenge. I think a lot of Falcons stepped up to the challenge. I think they didn't want to come down. I don't think they wanted to come into the Georgia Dome and get beat by Michael Vick coming down with an extremely excited Eagles team. But I think it's going to be a great, as you said, a great springboard moving in to the next game against Tampa Bay, where you have an aging secondary where the veterans actually Rondé Barber. And, you know, shout out to him for still playing corner at 35 years old. Him and Charles Woodson out there had a great weekend. I think everybody here in Atlanta is excited to see what has happened with the Falcons this past weekend, Dave. And I know we definitely can look out for you and your blog next week after the Tampa Bay Bucks and Atlanta Falcons go head-to-head in Tampa Bay. Dave, thanks again for coming on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have you, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Anthony, Dave gave us a great breakdown of what happened this past weekend in Atlanta, but in a slight turn of events, we also have a Philly blogger online. Tell me about our Philly blogger online today, Anthony.
Yeah, we have Mr. Tom Jackson. He's coming on today. You know, a lot of teams, I've been waiting to hear from a Philly blogger because, you know, they were labeled as the dream team. I would love to get the pulse of the Philadelphia Eagles because, you know, as you know, you're from Philadelphia. That's a tough city. I would love to get the pulse of the city of Philadelphia day after a loss.
Definitely. We're going to go ahead and bring Tommy Jackson in. Tom, you got us.
Hey, Lamar and Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, we're good, right, man. So listen, you know, I'm a Philly guy, man, and you know, I know how Philly can be. You know, we all we actually do is work hard in Philadelphia as a sports fan. And I think that may have been a Philadelphia sports fan in me coming out when I think Vic may have just been choking last night. What are the feelings in Philadelphia today after that tough loss to the Falcons last night?
Well, I'll tell you, and by the way, I need to say a shout-out to Dave, too, because I read the Falcoholic all the time. I've stolen many of his posts.
Shout-out to Dave. He's a great guy.
I think Vic was doing okay. You know, if you told me before the game started that the Eagles were going to hold Matt Ryan to under 200 yards passing at the Dome, that they would hold Atlanta's running game to 138 yards, I would have told you, hey, I think we got a pretty good shot to win that game. What I forgot to remember was Tony Gonzalez can still play, man. To me, it was less about Vic and more about Tony Gonzalez. He just he messed up what the Eagles were trying to do on their defensive game plan and made it just an incredible catch that turned the whole darn thing around. And I just have to say that Tony Gonzalez, you can still play, man.
Wow, with that being said, Tom, I mean, you know the number one question now is, what is the pulse and what's the timetable for Michael Vick being out?
Right. Well, you know, he's on what they call the borderline of concussion. I was talking to the Eagles trainer today, Rick Burkholder. And he was telling me Michael's right on the edge of maybe he's got a concussion, maybe he doesn't. He's got to go through 2 days of testing and 2 days of mandatory rest under the new NFL rules. And then we'll know whether he'll be able to come back next weekend. Now, my problem with that is I want the guy who's practicing on Wednesday to start the game on Sunday. And they got a big game coming up against the Giants at home. So even if Mike technically could play next Sunday, he won't be practicing Wednesday, that's for sure. So,
and you know, and that's a great point, Tom. So the question has to come. Who gets to start? Is it the young man that actually played very well last night in his limited time against the Atlanta Falcons? Or does Vince Young get his first start as a Philadelphia Eagle?
Well, Vince's hamstring is still giving him trouble. I think he's still a week to 2 weeks away. Kafka's good. He looked okay. I don't know why Andy Reid, well, I know why he dumbed down the offense for the kid, because he was protecting him from making a big mistake at the end. I mean, basically, the kid comes in with a 10-point lead, and Matt Ryan just catches fire as well as the rest of the Atlanta offense. And plus, I agree with Dave before. I think the Eagles wore down a little bit at the end. Atlanta's a fast, aggressive team. I mean, they just make you play 60 minutes, and that's why they were 13-3 last year. But yeah, to get back to your point, it's probably going to be Kafka. Don't rule out Andy Reid bringing in a veteran free agent either.
Wow.
That could happen.
Wow. That would be a great, that would be something that would be very surprising. Tommy, we're running a little short on time. I want to make sure my listeners know where they can reach you, where they can find your blog, and if you're on Twitter.
Yeah, we're on EaglesEyeBlog.com, and on Twitter, we're at EaglesEyeTwit.
That sounds good. That's our man, Tom Jackson, Philly blogger. Thanks for the info, Tom. Looking forward to talking to you again soon down the line this great NFL season. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Appreciate it, Lamar.
That was a great game last night, Anthony. Like I said, they almost crucified me down there at the Georgia Dome last night. I was going strong on my Eric Allen jersey. But, hey, your boy Matt Ryan grew up a little bit yesterday and got him a great win down there at the Georgia Dome.
Yes, it was. And I mean, I think it was key for Matt Ryan to get this victory, you know, with all the pressure coming in after the loss against Chicago and the bad effort that they put out against the Green Bay Packers. So there was a chance for a big opponent like the Philadelphia Eagles to come in and Matt Ryan to get a chance to really prove himself again and let them know this is his home in the Georgia Dome down here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Definitely. We got about 30 seconds left, but when we come back, I'm going to be joined by NFL vets Matthew A. Cherry and Ellis Hobbs talking about their new film, The Last Fall, coming soon. Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. when it comes to youth and high school football. Listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. It's about 6:18 p.m. here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. This segment is brought to you by the success of real estate. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or lease luxury real estate here in Atlanta, always look at the success of real estate. You can find them on the web at www.thesuccessofrealestate.com. But without any further ado, I have one of our special guests, Matthew A. Cherry. He's a film and video director, a retired NFL baller who is now part of the great movie that will be coming to you shortly, The Last Fall. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Sounds good. It looks like we just got our man Ellis to call in as well. Ellis, are you in?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Good. Not too bad.
Great, man. Great, man. Got the NFL ballers turned now. Hollywood big ballers coming on the show today, man. I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Matthew. Tell us a little bit about your transition from the NFL and what was it about the film industry that attracted you to that, and how was that transition for you?
Well, you know, the thing with me is that, you know, I went to school at the University of Akron, you know, not a big school. So the fact that I was even able to get a look, you know, as an undrafted free agent, you know, to my rookie year in 04 with Jacksonville, you know, it was a good look. But, you know, I was a little unique, whereas, you know, I always kind of knew once I got done playing, I wanted to transition into the film world. And, you know, I kind of gave myself a 3-year plan. And, you know, when you're a rookie, I always throw the numbers at you, you know, the average career is 3 years. So, you know, I figured if I wasn't able to, you know, kind of stick and stay, you know, and kind of make a career of it, because I never wanted to be a journeyman. And I just decided, you know, after my 3rd year, that I was going to kind of give it up and try to, you know, retire and, you know, just try to transition into the film world. And, you know, it was hard, man. I mean, you go from, you know, pretty much being the man and, you know, everybody kind of, you know, catering to you and stuff, to basically moving to L.A. and being a production assistant, you know, making, you know, $400 a week. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just kind of doing it for the love and just really humbling yourself and just basically starting over and reinventing yourself. So, you know, it was extremely difficult for me. And I had a plan. And, you know, most players don't have a plan after sports. So, you know, it was just a film that I feel like it was due. You know, with the NFL lockout, so many people were just saying, you know, just like coming down on a player saying that they were greedy
right.
to try to get more money
right.
and more benefits and things of this nature. And like, I just found myself really having to defend these guys, you know, and just really just let it be known, like, man, if y'all really knew what it was like,
right.
you know,
right.
You know, the reality of it is, you know, y'all see ESPN and you hear about these multi-million dollar contracts for like a minority of the players and you assume that everybody is, you know, kind of set for life, but you know, NFL has no guaranteed contracts. You know, people forget taxes, you know, most basic information. You know, if you're getting a $1 million check, you're in the highest tax bracket. You know, Uncle Sam taking about half of that, so.
No question. Uncle Sam is coming for his. And you hit a great point, a guy with a plan. And, you know, Ellis, you know, you're a recently retired guy, you know, and you played on some high profile teams when you were a player with the Philadelphia Eagles, and with the New England Patriots, as well as a 108 yard kickoff return, which the young man from Green Bay tried to get you, man, but good thing he just tied you. So you're still in the record books. Your name's
yeah.
probably not going to go anywhere for a long time, man, but you had to leave because of an injury. Tell us about what that transition was for you, leaving the game as an injured player during the NFL lockout.
Well, I think it kind of piggybacks off, you know, what Matt says, where I was the type of guy where I consider myself very smart about the game, very knowledgeable, but always observing and looking at successful players amongst the game, you know. And mm-hmm. so I say that to say that, you know, I had a game plan as well, where if this game was fleeting or if I sustained a lengthy career, you know, I was going to be prepared for that. But I don't really think, you know, when you play this game, because people really consider a career, you know, 10 years, 15 years, and that's the NFL. But I consider my career 24 years. You know, I've
right.
been playing this game for literally since I was four. You know,
right.
honing in on my craft, my skill, and focusing in and trying to be the best player I can be. So when I was taken out of the game and literally gave my body to it, you know,
right.
And you can ask some of my teammates and everything, the way I train and everything, to be taken out of the game that way. You know, it hurt, man. It hit me from a side of my face that I wasn't expecting. You know,
right.
almost like that Floyd Mayweather punch. But it's kind of it's just weird how it all played out, man. But you know, to get wheeled off the way I did, and literally
right.
as soon as the wheels touched the pavement, as far as taking me under the tunnel, I heard the whistle blow. I knew that it was over. You know, they
right.
had forgot about me, and the game had moved on. And so it's difficult, man, because you get knocked down right in the mouth. And it's like, okay, where do I go from here? And like I said,
right.
this is a guy that had a game plan. And so when you don't know where to look forward to or what to look forward to, but I think the biggest thing that I did was, one, I never looked back. And then I
right.
said that I need to keep a structured life. I still stay disciplined in what I do, get up in the morning, read, work out, things like that. So, you know, slowly but surely, man, you find a way.
Yeah, you definitely hit it right on the head with that one. If you're just joining us, I'm on the line with Matthew A. Cherry and Ellis Hobbs, creators of the film The Last Fall, starring Lance Gross. Now, when we met Matthew on Twitter, we had a chance to connect with Ellis. We met before earlier, but it just seemed like this interview was meant to be. At the same day that you guys' trailer was coming out, I had a CNN article focusing on players that opened up the career was over for them. My article actually came out that Thursday to open the Thursday night season in the NFL. And I'm just going to share this with you guys. You know, I got a lot of negative feedback from the average reader out there on CNN, but I got nothing, but it was nothing but love received from the retired players, the active players, because in a way, fellas, unless you're in the game, it's hard to understand, that transition. And I'm going to come back to you, Matthew with that question. When it comes to that transition, did you already have that passion for film, or was it something that you developed once you realized you were going to leave the game of football?
I never knew it was going to be film. You know, I knew it was going to be something. I knew I liked L.A. I liked, you know, the vibe. I knew it was going to be entertainment, but I didn't know I was going to be a film director or director at all. You know, I just wanted to go to L.A. and just kind of, you know, let God, you know, choose my path for me. And, you know, I just got lucky. You know, I worked on a show called The Game.
Right.
You know, it used to come on the CW that was about, you know, the NFL. You know, loosely based on, like, you know, the NFL Wise kind of thing, and worked on Girlfriends and a couple other TV shows, and I was able to be mentored by some really great African-American directors like Ava DuVernay, Anthony Hemingway, Steve Mann, and, you know, in L.A., in the business of production, you know, behind the scenes, there's a big lack of minority representation. You know, I would always find myself being one of few African-American just people on set, man or woman. And, you know, sometimes, like, I feel like in entertainment and in sports, you know, a lot of times we feel like we have to be in front of the camera, we have to be in front of the scenes in order to be successful,
right.
but there's such a vast array of opportunities behind the scenes where your career, you can have a 50-year career or 60-year career as opposed to, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not necessarily hot forever, whether it be an actor, whether it be right. an athlete. So, you know, I just always wanted to kind of get back into that and, you know, just it just worked out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm going to piggyback off what you said a little bit earlier, Ellis, off my first question. You know, one of the things that I put in my article was that, you know, as football players, you and Matthew, you both understand that they gear us and they hardwire us to have a certain mindset. As you said, Ellis, you've been playing for 24 years. You know, you've been playing for a very long time. They install us with a drive to succeed. They install us with a steadfast work ethic, to willingness to adjust. But I think the most important thing that we are instilled with as athletes is the ability to overcome adversity. Tell our listeners a little about what adversity you may have felt after your injury while you were making that transition over to film.
I mean, tremendous adversity. I mean, you just to start off, and I'll get as personal as, you know, people thought that my wife was going to leave me. You
wow.
know, it was based on money. People were constantly asking my brother. You know, they would hint around it to me, you know, what was going to happen with me, almost as if I was going to hang myself. And I think... It kind of just shows you how ignorant people are to the situation of that we're really people.
Right.
I play the game of football, but I have so much more going for me. If anything, I'm smarter or I'm better as far as skill wise than a lot of average people out there beyond the game of football. Because you think about how much skill does it take to process a play,
mm-hmm.
throw that whole play out of your mind, get another play in your system or get a whole other playbook in your system like a Matthew Cherry that had to do that time and time again from team to team, or just going through the daily or the weekly routine of having to learn a whole new defensive or offensive system going against a defense, things like that, or the reaction time that you have to have on the field. Take that off the field now to handling time management, waking yourself up, having that discipline to not eat those types of foods that is going to create bad habits or make you feel bad in the morning. All kind of things like that. And so now you take that out of the football world, and I've had to put that and place that into the real world. Those are things that in the real world, you don't have the people telling you no. That's
right.
The difficulty about being in reality. Reality accepts everything. They accept being average. They accept being normal. I've never been used to being normal or average, something like Matt said. So I think the biggest adversary for me is having to stay above sea level, not becoming
right.
one of those crabs that's constantly pulling other people down and saying, you know what, I'm better than that. I've been designed for more. Football just wasn't what I was about all my life. I have so many more years beyond this. And like Matt said, a 50, 60-year career in something else. And just going out there and do what you did in football, making it happen.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you guys 100%. That's actually the mindset that I have. You know, I don't say it from an arrogant or a soapbox place, but I tell people, you know, I just expect more out of myself based on what I've accomplished in my first career and in my lifetime. So any other challenge that is presented to me, I'm going to go in and take head on and expect to overcome that challenge. We have about 2.5 minutes left. We're going to take some questions in from some of our emailers. Matthew A. Cherry and Ellis Hobb, the ladies want to know, when can they see The Last Fall? When are we going to be able to see that in theaters?
Well, the thing about it is that the thing that's unique with our situation is that, you know, this is a very untraditional means of doing a film. You know, it's a straight independent. You know, myself and Ellis, you know, we put our own money up because we believed in the project. And so with that said, we're kind of going to go through the film festival process, looking to premiere early next year at possibly Sundance or South by Southwest. And then from that point, you know, it's kind of like, you know, just like kind of seeking out different deals and kind of seeing which the best situation is so that we can have as wide of a release, you know, as possible. Definitely
right.
looking at theatrical and then, you know, have a full life.
Right, and for the people that didn't understand what they were saying, this is business. These guys have a great product. They've worked on it extremely hard. They're going to shop it around. They're going to go and they're going to make the best decision for them moving forward. So all good things are worth waiting for, and I know everyone is going to be waiting for your new film, The Last Fall. We have time for about one more question, and this one goes to you, Ellis. Who is your favorite team to play for, the New England Patriots or the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think that's kind of an unfair question. I didn't really get a shot with the Eagles as far as just sitting in their whole organization for a couple of years. But, you know, if I had to pick one just off of that, I would say the New England Patriots, just because the way we carried ourselves over there, I mean, to explain it to the normal person or the person that's not in the locker room, you know, I never saw a losing season, you know, where we, I literally every year before I started the season, I would tell my financial advisor, just go ahead and add in a couple playoff checks because we're getting there. And
right.
So, having that mindset and then seeing it put to the pavement where guys were literally coming in 5:30 in the morning, weren't leaving till 6 o'clock. And then me being a rookie, a young guy, and then going into my veteran status, in my last couple years, it was a beautiful thing, man. And like I said, to go out there and literally feel like every game you can win. Because I know, leaving them, going to the Philadelphia Eagles and some other teams, at the time, you know, you just didn't feel as confident as you did with the Patriots or when we played together. It didn't necessarily wasn't the coaching staff of Bill Belichick, and he's a great coach, but just the players and the atmosphere that we created around ourselves and that whole level of, you know, we just felt like we could go out there and compete in every game.
That's awesome. Well, if you just joined us, that was Matthew H. Harris and Ellis Hobbs, creators of the Last Fall film. Fellas, thank you so much for joining us today. If you ever need me, Life After the Game is always here to support any of you guys' projects.
I appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Coming back with more Life After the Game. Stay tuned.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. It's about 6:35 p.m. This segment brought to you by my homegirls over at FlatOutHeels.com. Make sure you buy FlatOutHeels.com. Ladies, I know you're sick of walking around those games and walking around those high heels. But my girls over at FlatOutHeels.com has the perfect present for you. You can have a great set of shoes to walk around in after you get done cheering on your favorite football team. Smurf, let's go ahead and talk about the last fall. We just had Matthew Cherry and Ellis Hobbs on, and those guys did a great job of explaining that as players, a lot of people don't understand that transition from football to the professional world, but these guys are doing it, and not only doing it, but doing it at an extremely high level.
You're right about that. Man, you're talking about some guys. They were one of the first that I heard guys who took it Hollywood. A lot of times, a lot of people just think people just are, after football, there's nothing left. But these guys have really taken up enough. They have shot their own film. And like you said, they're going to shop it. And I know a lot of people are going to be interested in this and interested in their story.
I mean, it was only the major storyline over the last year. I mean, nothing is going to Trump, I think, this year, the NFL lockout and all the news that transpired during the NFL lockout. And we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA lockout in a little bit when our buddy Sekou Smith gives us a call. But look at what they have. They have Lance Ropes. They have star power. They have a story. And it's going to actually explain the lives of what it's like for retired players when they leave the game. And as you know, as we mentioned earlier in this segment, Anthony, you know, my CNN article got a lot of negative feedback. But as far as the players that have been there, you know, they all understood and appreciated where the article was coming from. And I think being as though that this is going to be put on film by Matthew and Ellis, that's going to have a completely different reaction. I think people are going to appreciate not only that the time that these gentlemen put into it, but also the content.
You're right about that. And like I said, a lot of people who work 9-to-5 jobs, they don't quite understand the life of an NFL player or any type of professional athlete. So this would give them another way of seeing things from the athlete's perspective, because a lot of times people don't know when you have millions of dollars, you have so many people managing your funds, you have all types of managers, agents, and financial advisors that, you know, it is a lot stressful and can get confusing. And a lot of times if you have unfair people in your life, there is a way for you to lose a lot of your millions of dollars also.
And I think Ellis said it great. He said, you know, he was just not used to being average. And I don't think he said that coming from an arrogant place. It was just what, as athletes, a lot of times we're hardwired to believe or hardwired to think. And then we're in a situation where the game is taken from you, Matthew, because he decided he did not want to be a journeyman. And then Ellis based on injury. So you have two people who had to leave the game two completely separate ways. And yet their mindset is completely the same.
You're right. And, you know, that's one thing about, I heard you elaborate on it also during the interview, that, you know, one thing you do learn from football is not to give up. And, you know, that's one thing, one positive thing that you are, and still, you know, you're competitive. And although it may not be on the field, you know, no one wants to lose, no matter what it is, whether it's sports, whether it's business. You just have a competitive nature as an athlete. And I think that's the one of the very positive things that comes from playing sports.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think that was a great interview, one of the best interviews that we've had a chance to have here on Life After the Game. I think Ellis had a good point, too, as well, him and Matthew. You know what, Ellis, as far as he didn't play long enough for the Eagles, man. You know, I wish he was healthy and out there helping us win against the Falcons last night. You know, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure he still has a little bit in the tank. But Matthew and Ellis took it to Hollywood. And as Matthew said, there's not much African-American representation out there in Hollywood. So the fact that these guys have made that step in such a minimal amount of time is just awesome.
You're right about that. And I mean, for them to be athletes, and like you said, there's not too many black African Americans that's out there in Hollywood. And for these guys who went from athletes to actors, I mean, I think that's a phenomenal job, because, as you know, performing in front of that camera is a lot tougher than performing on that field. It's not as easy as what people think it is.
Not at all. If you're just tuning in, this is Life After the Game. Lamar Campbell with my co-host Anthony Smurf Plummer. And we're going to go ahead and jump into a little bit of NBA lockout. Any opinions you have on a lockout, go ahead and give us a call at 1-888-346-9144 or reach out to us on Twitter at twitter.com/LifeAfterTGame. Anthony, does anyone really care about the NBA lockout?
Well, I guess it's really right now. We waited so long for football, so I guess no one really cared. We probably really wouldn't pay any attention. A lot of people don't pay attention till basketball, until after the Super Bowl is over, due to the fact the season is so long and drawn out. One thing I would wish they would do in the lockout is cut down on some of the games, because I think the NBA season has started to get watered down, and it's just too long and drug out.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta agree with you on that. I mean, as you said, they're gonna open up in November. And as you know, most people will tell you they don't even watch the NBA until the NBA playoffs. And so I know I, for self, unless it's a huge, huge game, let's say a Christmas Day game or something along that line, I just don't pay attention until the playoffs. And coming off what was an awesome playoff season last year for both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, as businessmen, why can't these guys just come together and get something done with the NBA lockout?
You know what my motto is, Lamar? Things will get worked out when players start losing checks. Right now, it's still the off season. We'll give it late November when these families wives, the wives start tapping on some of these husband's shoulders, and they have to start going to calling Derek Fisher and say, hey, we might need to negotiate a little better than this. No one is losing checks right now the same way it was with the NFL. Once checks are really starting to be lost, then you will see a lot of movement being made then.
And you know what? You know, it's funny. Last week in the news, apparently, our listeners didn't know, you're listening to Life After the Game. It's about 6:40 after the hour. Is that they actually brought DeMar Smith out there to talk to the players as far as decertifying as a union. And the thing I'm going to say to that, that's a little bit too late. You should have been in DeMar Smith pocket when he was negotiating the NFL agreement and paying attention to how the NFL players held together and got something done.
You're right about that. And that was a strange part for me. I mean, you watch the NFL go through what they went through during the summer. It should have been Derek Fisher and the NBA players were piggybacking on what the NFL players done and got some momentum so we can come to some type of agreement. As of right now, they don't even have any meeting scheduled for it to come to any type of agreement.
And that's the crazy. I mean, those guys left the table last Monday pretty much, you know, cold turkey. They didn't have anything going on that was actually going to help the NBA move forward. And one thing, I mean, you have Ron Artest dancing with the stars right now. You have a couple of other NBA players, some actually currently playing overseas right now. And those guys are getting some checks. What is the NBA going to do with these guys that are playing overseas?
What they're going to have to do is going to take one more big name. And I see this guy named, he's still floating out there, and he's saying that he's still weighing his options. That'll be Kobe Bean Bryant. We haven't really lost a true star to going overseas yet. Yes, our biggest name player was Deron Williams, but we haven't really lost a true star. Once the NBA start losing true stars to going overseas, that's when they will wake up and smell the coffee, and David Stern will get the product together.
You know what? I think David Stern is going to go ahead and have this drawn out to be a long, drawn-out fight with the NBA players. I think that he's, along with the public, thinks a lot of what a lot of the rest of the public thought when the NFL lockout commenced was that the players would not stick together. It's already out there that the NBA players are going to Europe. They don't care. They're doing their own thing. I don't think these players are going to stick together. That's just my opinion. I think they should stick together. I think it behooves them on a business standpoint and as a professional standpoint. They're going to try to get something done with this lockout, but it seems as though like the owners and the players are miles away from any type of agreement.
You're right, and you're talking about miles away. And I mean, the NBA and the NFL lockout, they are completely different. I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm counting for the owners when it comes down to this NBA because, I mean, the numbers are starting to get outrageous. Lamar, in a minute, you won't have no league. You won't. I mean, when you're talking about guys making an upward of $20 million who are still living off their old contracts, I mean, it should be some type of provision in the contract that the owners will be able to walk away. Because other than that, without revenue sharing, when you have a Gilbert Arena still making $20 million and averaging 5 points a game, you have Rashad Lewis making well over $20 million, averaging 9 to 10 points a game. I mean, come on, we got to give these guys a break and just to keep the league flowing.
And let's not even talk about what's going on down here in our hometown of Atlanta right now with those Atlanta Hawks and, you know, Joe Johnson's contract and what he's been able to contribute or lack thereof. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much like there of another case of a guy holding a franchise hostage.
And that's, you know, and I think that's one of the things, and I understand why you say you're with the, owners as a player, as a former NFL player. I think I may still be with the NBA players, but it's hard to support an organization that doesn't have themselves together. I mean, these talks should have been going on a long time before the NBA even stepped into a lockout. It's getting ready to be October 1st. NBA season starts right around the corner. I believe allegedly supposed to start in November. Not only are we on the brink of not having an NBA season at all, but not even having a deal done. And honestly, I don't think anyone's going to miss it. I'm not.
You're right about that. And, I mean, the NBA, they don't want to lose the product because we all know NFL is number one. Now, you as a former player, the number one problem that I do have with the NBA, and this is what I always try to tell a lot of women when they're learning about the sport, the NBA, they're getting these large sums of contracts, Lamar, but their money is guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
You're talking about an NFL player who can sign a $100 million contract, like what I said about Michael Vick. He did sign a $100 million contract, but what's his chances of seeing that whole $100 million? So the key word in the NFL is guaranteed. The main word in the NBA is guaranteed.
And that's a great point. You know, you look at these contracts for the people that don't have, you're listening to Life After the Game, www.voiceamericasports. Give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. One of the things that, you know, Mike said, Michael Vick got a $100 million contract. What most people don't understand are most of those contracts are end of the contract heavy, which means if you sign a 5-year contract, most of your money is going to be included, if not in the last 2 years, probably in that last year, which makes what the signing bonus is so important. And with the NBA, you know, these guys can be retired for 3 or 4 years and still getting $1 million checks because their contracts are guaranteed.
You're right about that. And it was a stunning statement that I heard last NBA season. You being a former Philadelphian, did you know Matt Geiger, the former Philadelphia 76er, was third highest paid player on the team right now today? Matt Geiger are retired. a retired center for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's the third highest player, and he's still sitting on his couch right now today.
That's crazy. And that's, I mean, and that's one of the things that the NBA is trying to fight right now. We got about a minute left, and when we come back, if you're listening, we're going to have our Have Mercy moments of this past sports weekend. Anthony, get the listeners a preview of what we have for the for your couple Have Mercy moments going into the last segment.
Well, Have Mercy. The Chiefs defense had gave up 89 points in the last two games.
Who did they give up 49 points to yesterday, if you don't mind letting my listeners know?
I have to give y'all credit. The Detroit Lions are 2-0. I have
yes,
to give
sir.
You all your guys credit.
There's still room on the bandwagon. We welcome in everybody. Come on, we take all the fans. There's still a lot of room left on the bandwagon. The Detroit Lions are 2-0. We're still going to roll. We still have a lot of work to do. But I talked to some of the guys up there in Detroit today, and they're not satisfied with that 2-0 start. Those guys are extremely, extremely hungry. Tuning in to Life After the Game, Lamar Campbell, Matt, Anthony Smurf, Plummer. We're going to come back with our Have Mercy moments of the weekend. Stay tuned.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring Lemond Williams. Each week, join Lemond as he takes callers, discusses the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sits down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, with my co-host, Anthony Smurf Plummer. This segment is brought to you by Voice America Sports. Tune in to Voice America Sports at www.voiceamericasports.com for your favorite analysts talking about your favorite issues on sports and life. So now, welcome back as we do as the last segment of every show. We're going to have our Have Mercy moments of the weekend. Anthony, give me your first Have Mercy moment of the weekend.
My Have Mercy moment of the weekend goes out to the Indianapolis Colts for losing at home to the Cleveland Browns. Have mercy. What are they going to do in Indy without Peyton Manning?
Let me tell you something. Have mercy to the Indianapolis Colts. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the gift and the curse. I guarantee you when they negotiated that the Super Bowl was going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis this year, they thought it was going to be a home game for their Indianapolis Colts. Unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. But this is what's going to happen. The Indianapolis Colts are going to fall so far, they're going to luck up and get a high draft pick next year, and they're going to bring in Peyton Manning's replacement, which is going to be Andrew Luck.
Have mercy. Wow, that was a brilliant idea, because by me being a Washington Redskins fan, I know we won't have our record, hopefully won't be as bad as the Indianapolis Colts, so they probably will have a better chance at getting Andrew Luck.
No question. Now, one of my Have Mercy moments of the weekend definitely has to go out to as we mentioned a little bit earlier, to my Detroit Lions putting up 49 points on the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Have mercy.
Have mercy. I got to go ahead and give the Lions their props. I mean, the Lions, Detroit Lions are looking good. Found there looking like a team. I mean, I'm very impressed with Matthew Stafford. He looks very good back there. If he can just stay healthy with and he also has a go-to weapon in Calvin Johnson. I mean, they look actually great out there right now. And also, I really like the defense, and they're playing great without Nick Fairley. So, I mean, the Detroit Lions are looking to give the Chicago Bears a run for their money this year for that division title.
And, you know, we have those Bears on Monday Night Football. You know, Monday Night Football hasn't been back to Detroit since 2001. It's been a 10-year hiatus for my Detroit Lions to be on Monday Night Football. But we are going to be back against a very, very tough Chicago Bears defense and Jay Cutler, which actually looked pretty good this weekend. What's your other have mercy moment for the weekend? We got about 5 minutes left. Give me another have mercy moment.
Man, my have mercy moment was for the fan that was in the Georgia Dome last night with the Michael Vick jail suit on. Have mercy, this black and white striped jumpsuit with the number 7 back with his inmate number. Have mercy for the fan that wore the jail suit to the Georgia Dome last night.
Have mercy, a jail suit. Let me tell you, I saw that guy outside at the tailgate, walking through the tailgate. He was either loved or hated, but I'll tell you this, and I hate to say it, every time he walked by a tailgate, someone offered that man a drink with that Michael Vick jail suit on yesterday. Have mercy, I couldn't believe it.
Wow, I mean, that guy, he drew piles of attention last year, but it just lets you know, some of these Atlanta Falcons fans would not let that Michael Vick story go.
And you know what, they can't. As I told a lot of people yesterday, as I rocked my Philadelphia Eric Allen Eagles jersey very proudly, it's like a love affair with Mike Vick. You know, a lot of people say, you know, we want to see Mike Vick do well and we want to see the Falcons win. I'm going to give you my final have mercy. I mean, my look at have mercy. You heard it here first. Michael Vick was going to go in the tank last night before he got that concussion. Have mercy. You heard it here first. And yes, I said it.
Yes, you're sticking by your statement. You're saying that Michael Vick was going to tank it last night. You don't think he had anything left in the tank last night before he got injured. I mean, you know, like you said, as a player at his home, there's no way I would have checked out that game. You know, they're saying he had a concussion, he was spitting up blood. As you say, hey, that's what we
no,
do.
Anthony, no. And Anthony, no. If I'm going back to my old team, and not only are you going back to your old team, Michael Vick is just not a run-of-the-mill football player. He was the face of the Atlanta Falcons franchise from the moment that they drafted him. There is no way in hell, as a competitor, coming back to my own stadium, you're going to have to cart me off of the field. There was no way that I would walk off the field underneath my own power, have the nerve to point to the scoreboard, and not come back out to play. Come on, man. I'm going to tell you what, I lost respect for Mike Vick last night, and I gained a lot of respect for Matty Ice Ryan.
And that's what I was just ready to say. That was just the leverage that Matt Ryan needed for the game, the support of the Atlanta Falcons. Because like you said, this is still a city that's torn between two quarterbacks. And I mean, you have just as many Vick fans as you have Matt Ryan fans out here. But as you stated, Michael Vick going off that field and Matt Ryan being able to pull together that victory after Michael Vick went down, that up Matt Ryan's status.
Definitely. I mean, you can feel the energy when Michael Vick was walking off of that field and he pointed to that scoreboard. You felt the entire stadium pretty much say, Mike Vick, we don't like you anymore. You're not our guy anymore. If you even felt for him a little bit, you lost all empathy for Mike Vick as soon as he pointed to that scoreboard last night.
Exactly. And you know, this guy has been known to do things to the fans down here in Atlanta, Georgia Dome. So like you said, Michael Vick, he may have lost a few fans, but I wouldn't say too many because, like I said, this guy, no matter what he do, as he once stated, love him or hate him, people still going to love Michael Vick in Atlanta no matter what he does.
Yeah, you know, it's like what we talked about earlier. It's the Tiger Woods syndrome. You know, you're going to watch whether you want to see him win or if you want to see him lose. You know, you're going to make sure that you tune in. You know, Mike just got a lot of money. And, I mean, it says so much in that statement last night. Number one, Michael Vick stays hurt at all times. He showed you why he could never really get through here in Atlanta because he could never stay on the field. Now, to be fair to Mike, the Eagles' offensive line are garbage, very garbage. But Michael Vick is known for not being healthy during the season. A lot of the experts called it during the season. Michael Vick will not be healthy the entire season. But to go out against your old team, the Atlanta Falcons. And let's make one thing clear. He wasn't having a great game before he went out.
You're right about that. I mean, he was running around and he caused a lot of turnovers out there. You know, he's running around with all players knowing, he should know this by now, that all players, NFL scouts, everyone knows Michael Vick, when he runs with the ball, he carries it like a loaf of bread. So I know that's a memo that's been sent out to all 32 teams in the NFL, and he needs to protect the ball more because that will really cost him in a playoff game.
And the unsung hero last night in that game, and I'm going to give him a big, big shout out, Falcons coach Mike Smith. He outcoached Andy Reid last night.
Yes, he did. I mean, Mike Smith, he really put it on the line. He had his troops riled up. And I really do like Mike Smith. I think he's a great coach, and I think he's going to be here for a good little while down here in Atlanta.
Definitely. We got about 45 minutes left. Definitely want to give a shout out to Dave Choke at the Falcoholic and our boy Tommy Jackson down there in Philadelphia, our bloggers that joined us today. Make sure you check out my buddy's film, The Last Fall, by Matthew A. Cherry and Ellis Hobbs, two NFL vets who are making great waves in Hollywood this year. Give them some shout outs, Murph.
I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Matt for bringing those Arizona Cardinals to Washington and losing. He thought I forgot about them.
Matt just sent me a text message. He's definitely enjoying that. Everyone, thanks for joining us on Life After the Game. For my co-host, Anthony Smurf Plummer, I'm Lamar Campbell. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. See you next week, 6 p.m. East.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.